TML country. It's time to dance.
Markin for three. Got it.
For Shanahan again, she scores.
Ace Cowens, top right corner, with half a second to go, and the Cats win.
What's happened, everybody? Welcome to the Cat Insider. You're on episode 7 of our 2025-2026 calendar year. I'm your host, Brian McLaughlin. Great to have you with us for our 7th weekly episode of the season. Big week around Catamount Country last week. This week we'll be joined by David Ismail on our show, but to catch you up on just a bit of what's been going on around Burlington and elsewhere, really busy time of the year with both basketball teams, both hockey teams in action, cross country competing in the America East Cross Country Championships last weekend. Later on today, the Catamount cross country team will be traveling back to New Hampshire for the NCAA Northeast Regional. So fun times there for the cross-country teams with indoor track and field coming up soon. And of course, our fall sports are wrapping up. David Ismail, our guest on this week's show, is a star on the Catamount men's soccer team. So we chat with David about all things UVM men's soccer, about the win just a night ago as I'm talking to you on this Friday. I interviewed David on Thursday. And so it's a fresh Catamount win for David and the team. They're coming off the semifinal victory over New Hampshire, where the Catamounts trailed by one for almost the full game before David tied it at the end of regulation, and Maximilian Kissel came away with the golden goal in the semifinal round in overtime. So we recap all that and more and get you ready for the America East Championship soccer game on Sunday. Should be a real fun one with David. I hope you enjoy it as well. Don't go anywhere. Catamount Insider continues after this quick break.
Morgan Stanley Wealth Management values long-term relationships with its clients. Built on servicing clients well, relationships spanning decades. Your local Morgan Stanley Wealth Management office knows that building relationships begins with getting to know each of our clients. That's because each investor has different goals. For more information, call 658-2424. Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
Welcome to Catamount Insider, joined by David Ismail of the UVM men's soccer team. David, thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Of course. Excited to talk about the team coming off an overtime win last night against rivals New Hampshire in the America East semifinals. Fun game last night. Did you enjoy that one?
Yeah, I mean, the atmosphere was amazing. I think the fans this season have been phenomenal. Especially last night and the snow, that so many people came is amazing, and it gives us so much energy. And yeah, everybody hoped that we can close the game a little bit earlier. We made it a little bit closer then, but I think everybody had a good time even when it was freezing. But yeah, it was amazing. It was a nice feeling to win the game.
The Cardiac Cats out in full force last night, I would say, making everybody's life a bit stressful.
Yeah.
First, though, the snow, the elements, the wind, the rain, it was uncomfortable. What's it like approaching a match like that when you know? I know you guys practiced in the snow the day before, and that's something you guys embrace every year this time of year, that type of Vermont element that you're going to be dealing with. But how do you try to approach a game like that when you know it's just going to be cold and wet and a bit sloppy?
I mean, we are kind of used to the weather here. I mean, some of the new guys, for example, Marcos, the day before the game, it was his first snow ever, I think. And yeah, I mean, it doesn't really make that big of a difference, I would say. We are all used to it, and I think we also kind of like it, to be honest, because it's our element. I mean, I'm from Germany, so I'm used to cold weather and rainy weather. Not as cold as in Vermont, but yeah, I think just going into the games with the same mindset as in every other game, and if it's a little bit dirtier, then that's how it is.
Obviously, you guys have had such a great season, one of just the unbeaten team remaining now in the nation. But playoff soccer, even though you guys are likely in the NCAA tournament regardless of last night's result, going into that one, though, does it feel a bit different when you know you're playing for that America East trophy and knowing that you need to win to keep that goal alive as you guys chase another conference title?
Yeah, I mean, the playoff games are always different comparison to the regular season games. I think you could also see it from New Hampshire. They started the game with a really good energy from their side, and they had a game before, a playoff game before, and it's always you need this little time to adjust to the playoff speed because it's always different. Playoffs have their own rules, I would say. And yeah, I think for us, we have a couple of guys who won it last year, who want to have it again, who want to get another ring, and especially to win it also for the new guys who came in and don't know how it feels like to win a championship in front of the UVM fans at home. I think this is the first step in becoming the national champion.
UNH scores early in the game inside the first 10 minutes and kind of a choppy opening half, couple injuries to both teams stopped the run of play. How were you guys trying to react to that UNH goal? It's not like you haven't trailed this season, but that was an early start for them and they started the game quickly. What did you think the response was like from your group? And as a veteran and a leader of this team, how did you try to rally the team even going down 1-0?
Yeah, we have this kind of ritual if we face a controversy or anything in the game that doesn't really go for us, that we come together as a team and have a quick chat. And I think we did that pretty well after the goal. We conceded pretty early. And I think in these situations, it's just really important to keep a cool head and just know and rely on our qualities and know that we're going to come back. Last season, I don't know how many goals we scored after the 80th minute, but also this year we have the quality in front to always get a goal, and I think we just kept our heads and believed in it.
It's clear there's no panic in the group, but as the game's getting later and later, you said it, this team has scored so many late goals in your time here the last couple of years, but is there an increased sense of almost urgency as the game's growing later in the games? What is that like? Is I know you have the belief that you can score, but it hasn't quite broken through yet. What's going through your mind as you're searching for that equalizing goal?
Yeah, I mean, if you have really good chances like we had in the game, late in the game, and they don't go in, of course it's frustrating. But I think, especially in those situations, it's really important to just, as I said, keep your head and believe that you're gonna score. I think we had this one chance where we had three shots on goal that UNH blocked, and I think then we had like 10 more minutes left, and we kept serving the ball into the box, and we knew that they struggle in there. And yeah, I mean, it can get pretty chaotic in the end, but I think we have a lot of guys who've been in these situations and know how to handle it and keep a clean head. Yeah.
Those balls served into the box. Can you describe what those battles are like for me? Because it is chaotic. The ball's bouncing around everywhere. It's hard for me to track it sometimes. What's that like from you as you're the guy often being targeted for those balls or at least in the mix with everybody? Those battles seem intense, man, late in games as you guys are fighting and scrapping. What are those moments of the game like?
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's really intense. We had a lot of guys yesterday who got injured too. It was a physical game, and I think just in these situations you have to be always prepared that the ball gets in front of your feet and then you have to be ready to finish. And we knew that UNH kind of struggled, and you also feel the momentum. I think when we entered the second half, you could see that we kept coming, and they didn't really get out of their half, and so that gives us confidence and brings them down a little bit. And yeah, I mean, we kept doing it, and in the end, it worked out. So pretty glad it worked out. Yeah.
Can you describe to me your equalizing goal?
Yeah, I mean, it was a good set piece. I think Marcos headed it across the goal, and then Maxi somehow picked up the ball, and he wanted to shoot. I could see that he wanted to shoot, and I just screamed at him that he should pass it to me because I was in a good position, and Maxi has the quality and also the view to play these balls and laid it off perfectly, and I just had to tap in basically. Oh.
Powerful tap in.
Yeah.
Got a little something on it with the left foot, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
The emotion then, after you do find a way to equalize and you know we've gotten our way back to level, what was that like as you celebrate in front of the home fans who had stuck it out with you for 85 plus minutes at that point?
Yeah, I mean, I had a couple good chances in the game. And obviously was a little bit frustrated that I didn't convert them. But then when it finally happened and I could score, I was just relieved, to be honest. And in front of these fans, it was just amazing hearing everybody cheer and going crazy. And I think at this point, everybody knew that we're going to win the game. And yeah, it was just kind of a relief to score such a late equalizer. Yeah.
Was that the talk between regulation and overtime? We've got this game right where we want it now.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could see it also in the game that we had way more from the game. I think we had over 20 shots, and we were just waiting for this equalizer because we knew if we score one goal, we're gonna get another one. We have Maxi on top. He's always good for a winning goal. So we did it last year. We did it this year again, and yeah.
What is it about that guy, Maxi Kissel? Just seems to always have that nose for that type of moment. Can you describe what he's like to play with and just how unbelievable it is that it always seems like he's that guy to find the winner?
Yeah, I mean, Maxi is a special guy. He, I don't know how many game-winning goals he scored in his life, but I think it has been 4 for UVM, or 3 for UVM, 1 for Vermont Green, even yeah. 2 for Vermont Green, I don't yeah. know. It's just a quality. Either you have it or you don't have it, and he has it, which is amazing for us. And you just know if you have Maxi on top, he's always good for a goal. He's always in the right position to score. And we are really glad that he's healthy again, that he can play, and that we have such a player on our team.
Kind of a weird play where you had the first header and then the keeper almost saves it off of Maxi. And what did you kind of see on that sequence as you guys end up scoring the game winner?
Yeah, I mean, we knew that to target the second post was the advantage for us because we have a size advantage there, and they struggled a little bit on this. And Millie had amazing from Millie how he turned on the side, on the wing, and served the ball. And I just tried to lay it across somehow because there was a lot of action in the middle. And then luckily the goalie can't save it, can't catch it. And it comes to Maxi, and then Maxi just does what he does and finishes the goal between the legs from the defender. And yeah.
How long after the game ends before you guys kind of had to, okay, we need to reset, job's not finished? Obviously such an emotional win, so much fun to have a victory like that. But when did the process kind of start to say, okay, now we've got a conference title game on the horizon this weekend? It's a quick turnaround. These games packed so close together.
Yeah, I think everybody yesterday after the game was really, was pretty dead. It was a long game, it was a cold game, it was intense. UNH made it really hard for us, I have to say. And I think we had film this morning, and everybody is locked in for Sunday and just fully focused on Sunday. We have a couple injured guys, which is really sad for them and also for the team. But we just try to support them. They have to figure out their own things first, and then they're going to support us too. And yeah, I think the whole group focuses now on Sunday.
Are you excited to get to see Bryant again, another top 5 team in the country? They've been kind of that alternating almost in a horse race this whole year. You guys 1 and 2 back and forth in the conference. Excited that it's Bryant across from you Sunday?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a top quality game. Bryant is a really good team. They have a great season so far. I think they are out for revenge for the regular season game and for last year's America East final. Yeah, from now on, we only have big games. We only play good opponents. Every game is going to be a tough one. And I think all of the guys know that, and all of the guys are really prepared for that mentally.
Do you try to draw on last year's playoff run at all as far as playing in these big games and other games throughout? I'm sure your career, you've played in many. But do you think back to last year's run through the America East tournament and the NCAAs at all this time of year?
I think naturally you do, but this year is completely different from last year. We have a completely different team. We have a lot of new guys who did a great job so far. And I think it's important not to think too much about last year because you can't really compare it. Mm-hmm. Bryant has a different team. We have a different team. They play different. And it's just going to be focused on a new game, start it pretty well, get the fans going, and yeah, hopefully win it again.
How's your role on this year's team different from your role from a year ago?
Yeah, I mean, I play in a little bit more attacking position this year. So last year I started as an 8 or 6 because our captain Aru was injured at the beginning of the season. So I didn't really I wasn't that much involved in the attack. And then when the conference and tournament playoffs started, I got a little bit more in front because Aru came back. And this year I'm mostly playing in the attack as a striker or on the wing. And I think so far it worked out good. Scored a couple goals, and yeah, so far I think we have a good season.
I'd say you're in good form. I've got you 5 goals, 2 assists in the last 5 games. It's a pretty good run of form. Do you feel confident in front of net right now?
Yeah, of course. When you score in, I think, 3 goals in a row, three games in a row, yeah. it gives you confidence. I think we have a lot of guys who can feed us as a strikers. Really, really glad for that. And yeah, of course, you get confidence from scoring these goals, yeah.
What's the position you would say, I don't want to say fits you best or is your favorite, but if you were to pick one position that you think you really thrive in, what would it be?
That's a good question. When I played in Germany, I mostly played as a striker, but never really scored.
So why was that?
If I would know that, it's a good question.
You might
question.
Not be here. That's fair. Yeah. Okay. We're glad to have you.
Yeah. No, I mean, I enjoy to play everywhere, yeah. Basically, on the pitch. I think last year I played on the 8, I played on the wing, I played as a striker, I played even against Bryant on the right back.
That's right, wow.
So I'm happy to play anywhere on the pitch. I'm happy to help the team wherever I can. And it's hard to say where I want to play the most, but I think this season striker or right mid is... It's a position where I see myself. Yeah.
Sure. You've kind of rotated striker partnerships this year. As Max, who was there at the start of the year, he picked up that injury. Phillip stepped into that role, and we saw all three of you guys out there for stretches last night. How do you feel like you guys have worked together up top? Phillip for the first time this season, and you and Maxie getting that relationship this year. What's that like? Is you're kind of all very different forwards filling different roles at the top of the formation?
Yeah, I think that benefits us a lot because we, as you said, we are different players, and that complements us, our play style. Maxi for the runs in behind, Philip for hold up play. I also more hold up play and also runs in behind. And I think this versatility in the attack can give us a lot of benefits, to be honest. And yeah, Maxi and Philip, they have such good qualities. Philip played, I think, 60 games in the fourth division in Germany, and he has a lot of experience, and they both have such high qualities, and we also have a really good relationship off the pitch, which is really important for the chemistry on the pitch. So I think it's really nice to play with them.
Such a great German contingent here. I talk about you guys often on our broadcasts, and I've had Nico Lobis on this show this year and asked him about it some. But what is that like to have so many of your countrymen around you away from home? But I know you guys have made it a home away from home in many ways. What's that like in your relationship with all those guys who hail from Germany?
Yeah, I mean, I think all the Germans have a special relationship because we share something in common. But also, the other guys in the locker room sometimes have to tell us that we should speak in English, because sometimes it happens that we are on the bus ride, we just talk in German for hours, and sometimes maybe some guys don't feel included, which...
tell them to learn. We got to get them learning some German.
And we know that, and we try to work on that, but I think it's great to have a couple guys from home. Also, I think for Philip, it was really important to just connect with some people that speak his language, and that he can grow in this team fast. And I think he did. And also, we have great relationships with all the guys who are non-German. Yeah. It's not that we have our own group who only chills together. We have great relationships with everyone, I would say. And yeah, but it's really nice to have some guys from back home.
Well, you obviously speak such beautiful English as well. And I'm curious about your ability to lead the team in that way. You're a guy who's played so much soccer in your career, and I can hear you out on the pitch. You're a vocal guy. What has it been this year as you've kind of stepped into a more of a leadership role and somebody who's able to communicate with just about everybody on the team?
Yeah, I think I'm really glad that the team trusted me to for being their captain. And I think it's important to be kind of a role model, not in a way that I say I make everything right and I don't make mistakes, but just to lead the team with plays and with vocals, like you said, and be loud and don't be afraid to talk to guys, and even if it's sometimes it's critique, and everybody can criticize me. And I think I just try to do my best to help the team, and I'm glad that the guys trust me there.
It's clear this team and this fan base, they love a physical challenge. You love a physical challenge. Take me inside that part of the game, the physicality. This team, a part of it a year ago, was a physical group, a lot of size all across the pitch. I think a similar story this year in that you guys are a strong and physical unit regardless of what 11 players are on the field. Is that something you try to bring to the pitch every time you're out there?
Yeah, I mean, physicality is a part of the game. I think it's also really good how we have this physicality and intensity in practice. Everybody is going into 1v1s like really hard, yeah, which prepares us pretty good for the games, I would say. And I mean, sometimes you get the ball, sometimes you get the man, and then afterwards you shake hands and it's fine. Like, it's part of the game, I would say. So I think everybody, even if we don't have the size from last year, I think everybody has a really physical game, which is really important for us.
Nobody's 6'5", 6'6", like Max Murray, but still plenty of physicality. Ludvig Afuglis strikes me as one of those brash, brave challengers. What's it like when you go shoulder to shoulder with him? He seems like a strong young kid.
Yeah, it's not that much fun, I have to say. In practice, when you play against him, he's always in your back. He always gets a knee in your back or elbow or something, which can be annoying. But when you play with him, it's class. When you play against him, it's not so nice, which is, I think, always a good sign.
A day ago, I thought Marcos Blasco had one of his best games as a Catamount. Felt like he was everywhere when your team had some injuries in the midfield. Can you tell me about what he brought to the team? You said it might have been the first snow he'd ever seen, but he was out there and he played the full game in that midfield spot. What do you think he brought to the table?
Yeah, I mean, Marcos has so much experience. He's one of the oldest guys in the team. He adapted really fast to Vermont, to the US, and to the soccer we play. I think he helps us a lot with his experience. He played in a lot of games. He played in a lot of big games. And just composure and knowing what to do in these moments is just really important for us.
All right, I just want to wrap up with one or two more thoughts. I have to ask you about the best soccer goal I've ever seen, Hofstra a year ago. Can you just revisit that one with me for a moment? I'm sure the fans watching know exactly the goal I'm talking about. The ball from Zach Baird over the top, your back heel flick into a one-time volley. What's even going through your head when that moment happened, if you can remember that with me? And have you ever scored a better goal than that one?
First of all, thanks for that. I don't think I scored a better goal, to be honest. In the moment, I saw Zach CB playing the ball, and there was actually no other way to catch it for me, so I just tried to flick it in my path. I didn't really plan to have a first time finish afterwards. I just tried to like get it into my path and do something with it, and I saw that I'm in a decent position to finish, even if it was like the angle wasn't great, but I just thought the touch was good, so now the finish has to be good too. So I just shot, and yeah, fortunately it went in.
Going to take another quick time out with David Ismail. He returns on Catamount Insider with Chat with the Cats next.
Morgan Stanley Wealth Management values long-term relationships with its clients. Built on servicing clients well, relationships spanning decades. Your local Morgan Stanley Wealth Management office knows that building relationships begins with getting to know each of our clients. That's because each investor has different goals. For more information, call 658-2424. Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
David Ismail joins us. Chat with the Cats here on Catamount Insider. If you weren't playing soccer, David, what do you think you'd be doing right now? What else gets your interests up? And just what do you like to do when you're not playing soccer?
That's a really good question. I I don't really know because I played soccer since I'm a little kid.
Yeah.
I've never done something else. I played tennis when I was six, maybe, okay. For 2 years. But other than that, probably go in the gym, lift a little bit.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Big, strong guy.
Yeah, sure. Just enjoy life.
What are you studying here at UVM?
I'm a business administration major with a concentration in finance.
Nice. Do you like that? Or what are the things that about that major that got you interested in it?
Yeah, so I started studying in Germany, and a lot of people say if you don't know what to do, you start studying business.
Sure.
And that was the case for me, but I thought it's pretty interesting. It's nice to be in the economy world and the business world. And finance is also a topic that it's really interesting for me. So, I'm enjoying it.
What are things you like about Burlington as far as been here long enough now to appreciate this place? What are things that you've enjoyed about your time in Vermont?
Yeah, I mean, where I'm from in Germany, we are from a smaller town as like, I think it's the same size as Burlington.
Nice.
And I think it's pretty good to, when you come to the US, to adapt this whole climate. And It's the climate is pretty similar to back home, so it went pretty fast to adapt to the US, and also like the nature is amazing. We have a beautiful view from our apartment. We see the mountains every morning, a nice little sunrise. Mm. I think Lake Champlain is amazing to go there in the summer or whenever basically.
Yeah,
have a cup of coffee. We go to. Get a coffee a lot with the guys. Sometimes they come to our apartment or we go somewhere else. It's just enjoying downtown too, just doing these little things, go out for, grab something to eat and just enjoying the nature. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite coffee spot in Burlington?
I would say August 1st is pretty, it's really good. They have really good coffee and for me, decent prices. Yeah.
I like that. That's one of my favorite questions to ask. I love exploring all the places around town. That's a good one. Love August 1st. How do you spend your bus rides? Team travels all over the East Coast. What do you do on the bus? Are you a guy who likes to take a nap? Do you do homework? Do you watch a movie? How do you spend that time?
Yeah, I always plan on doing homework, but in most cases it doesn't work out. So
that's way too familiar, yes.
We have this little German section in the bus. It's Philip, Nicholas, Locke, Maxi, and me. And most of the time we just play games against each other. If someone needs to do school, he just takes a break. But especially Philip, we have this trivia game and we have a lot of good 1v1s there.
Trivia game, that's fun. Are games on like your phone, board games? Phone?
Yeah, it's on the phone.
Nice, that's cool. Favorite TV show, what do you like to watch? Or favorite movie, if that's what you're interested in. Just kind of curious about... If you were to decompress away from soccer, kind of the thing that you might just throw on your TV?
What I really like to watch is Modern Family.
Okay, just,
for a nice
funny.
Little, yeah, just a little chill series. What I really enjoyed, Avatar, Last Airbender, amazing show. Everybody who didn't watch it now. And movies. We try to explore a lot of movies. We just sometimes we just go on a random app and get a random movie just to watch it, to see it, just to get everything a little bit. But yeah,
what do you miss about home in Germany?
That's a good question. I don't know if I can say it here. it has to do something with brewing.
But, fair enough. That's okay.
Just the family, of course, the friends from back home, and other than that. I don't really feel homesick, to be honest. I have the feeling we have a second family here. I adapted so fast in Burlington with all the guys, and it was such a pleasure to play here, to be here with the community, and everybody is just amazing.
He's David Ismail, everybody. David, thanks so much for joining Catamount Insider this week.
Thanks
Good
for
luck
having
on Sunday.
Thank you.
All right, Sunday at 1 p.m., the America East Championship. David and the Catamounts take on Bryant. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. This has been Catamount Insider. Again, a big thank you goes out to David for taking the time to join us this week. Such a fun guy to hear about his perspective after playing so much of his career and spending so much time of his life in Germany, coming stateside a year ago to play with this Vermont soccer team, winning a national title, and now one of the true leaders, really a part of the heart and soul of this team, and has become such a clutch goal scorer, up to 9 goals now in the season. David and the Catamounts taking on Bryant, number 5 in the country, this Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. You can check out that broadcast over on ESPN+. But so much else to take in this weekend. Later on today, women's ice hockey at home against New Hampshire. Get on over to the Gut, both 6 p.m. puck drop Friday, 3 p.m. on Saturday for Jim Plumer and the women's ice hockey team. Men's ice hockey on the road for a 2-game set at Maine starting tonight at 7, 7:30 the puck drop tomorrow, Saturday. Both basketball teams in action this weekend as well. On the road as the men's basketball team hits the town to Boston at Northeastern Saturday. That's tomorrow, 1 p.m. start time. While it's a trip to Pennsylvania for women's basketball, they're at Lehigh. Same start time, 1 p.m. tip-off. Ryan Zimmerman has the call over on the game and Learfield, so get that one on your phone or on your radio device. Should be a fun matchup there for the women's basketball team off to such a great start this year. And both basketball teams continue on the road next midweek at Buffalo for the men on Tuesday, the women's basketball on the road at High Point. While it's NCAA action potentially for men's soccer next week, ice hockey teams also get their action rolling throughout hockey's play over the weekend as well. Thanks to those of you who have stuck with us this long on our podcast version of Catamount Insider. I'm Brian McLaughlin saying so long. Talk to you next week, every Friday morning, with more Catamount Insider.